The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live and direct from my subterranean lair. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, baby, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me. Until we are all vibrating the same frequency. Guys, I want to apologize. First of all, I had a really great guest lined up tonight. My buddy Rex Bear from League Project. I talked to him earlier today. I've been on his show several times. And he's really usually good with time and prompt. And I hope everything's all right with him because I talked to him earlier today. And he was cool. Everything was good. He knew about the time, and for some reason, can't get a hold of him. So maybe if he pops up in a little while, we can patch him in or something like that. But for right now, we going solo, baby. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We are live here on the Para-X Radio Network. I got my buddy, my producer, Sarge, in the back. I want to thanks for always being there. We got people out in the chat room, and tonight I thought a pretty good topic. Well, I might bounce around a little bit, but there's so much to talk about, and I'm so glad the guys have you here with me, and we're going to do this either way, whether we got a guest or not. There's just so much to touch on and so many interesting things that I've been researching on and so much going on in the world. And, you know, truly, everybody, I want to really start by saying that, you know, I've mentioned in other podcasts and radio shows and places where I've been, you know, the one getting interviewed, and I've been a guest on many shows, and I've talked about this topic that I call the astral wars that I feel are, I know, that are taking place in our everyday life and our dream time. Because, like, you know, everyone always hears that saying, as above, so below. And it is literal like that. I mean, each dimension above affects the dimension directly below. And, you know, and so on. They, you know, each dimension affects each other. So, you know, we are, what's happening in our soul time, our spirits, what's happening when our dream time in you know, our soul level and our astral form, because people don't even realize when we are dreaming, when we are going to sleep at night, we are in the astral realms. This is our soul time. And what happens if we don't start to spiritually evolve and learn to unlock our spirit and work on our spiritual evolution and be grounded and work on all these aspects of our life and really unlock who our spirit is, and we don't start to spiritually evolve, then we lose our soul battle. And it's the constant struggle between light and dark within ourselves on a daily basis and a nightly basis. So really, truly, all of us are participating in these astral wars on an everyday basis in our souls. And I talk about how in my lineage, the Ben and Dante are called these astral, you know, are certain shaman or witches, if you want to use that word, that can transform in the astral state to battle in these astral wars. And people, what they don't understand, what I'm trying to describe, is that what happens in our soul time, what happens when we are fighting that battle within our soul, you know, to fight our own consciousness and to unlock our consciousness. If we don't do that, if we don't unlock that and start to spiritually evolve, it starts to affect the physical plane. It will for sure affect your own physical life, but it will also affect the physical world around you. What I mean by this is that it, you know, if, say, for instance, like in California, there are a lot of people in that area that are have problems with drugs, are losing their soul battle, aren't spiritually evolving, and that area experiences extreme drought and extreme hardships and extreme homeless and extreme problems, because these dark entities that feed on this negativity and lurk in these astral, lower astral realms, they are helping to cling to your soul, and they are monsters in this dimension, and they are helping to steal the abundance of Gaia. And when we lose our soul battle and we lose that part of us, it affects the physical dimension, it affects the crops, it affects everything, it affects, you know, everything around us. So it will affect the physical plane. So these shape-shifting abilities in the astral, these astral tulpas, are there to protect us from those trying to help us, help steal the fruits of the earth and poison the crops and give vaccines to children and all these negative aspects of our physical plane that are manifested from our soul time, from losing our soul battles. And when we lose the battle of our soul, we corrupt our physical world on a massive scale. And I think that's what people really don't understand. And we do have Rex just patched in on Skype. I don't know if we can take a break real quick and patch him in. I don't know if you want to do that, Sarge. What do you think? Maybe we'll do that. See if we can get him in. I know he just said he's here. So, see if we can get him on. We'll be back with you in one second, guys. We'll be right back and spiral out. people even – some people don't might not realize that are listening right now, Rex, on and Para X Network and out in the world, that how many people that you are touching on a daily basis with the Leak Project. I mean, we're talking about tens of thousands of downloads a day and clicks and amazing information that you're uncovering. I mean, you have a broad spectrum and so much, I mean, daily videos and quality work. I'm, you know, you're, it's a revolution, man. I'm proud to be just a small part of it.
Thanks, me too. I'm glad to be a small part of it, and I'll pay later for that. You know, I mean, I couldn't do it without people like you, Ross. Seriously, the interviews that you did on the Leak Project, they're still just doing phenomenal. I mean, they get, I would say, about 2,500 views a day on average, and this is, we did that interview, what, a couple months ago, the first one? So it's nice to deal with a lot of different people, and one of the things that I've really been digging into deep lately is the transhuman / singularity / ghost in the machine / compartmentalization, and it's all seems to be, it's orchestrated for a reason. And if you really kind of look at it from a bird's eye view, you have to ask yourself, who's controlling these politicians and these global leaders and these aristocrats and these people that are the corporate masters, you know, the CEOs of very large businesses. Most of us know there's six corporations that literally control 90% of the media. There's six corporations that control over 90% of the education. So there's just so much out there that's compartmentalized. And then you're like, okay, well, it seems like the world right now is in pretty bad shape. You've got fracking sites around the world where they're just sucking oil out of the ground. You've got nuclear reactors, 450 plus nuclear reactors. I mean, it just takes a couple of those to cause pollution on a global scale. And, you know, they're designed to last about 50 years, and then you have to start doing major upgrades, and they have a shelf life of the materials that they're using of a billion years, you know, and plutonium and uranium and all this kind of stuff. And then you get into essentially the technologies around us. Now they want to give us 5G networks, which they basically want to put a cell phone tower on every city block, because that's what you'll need essentially to get the 5G. Yeah, you can download the entire internet in 10 minutes, but when are you ever going to research it anyway? And do you really want to download the entire internet? I mean, how much do you want to be plugged in? And that has a really bad impact on the physical body as well, because if you look at our natural vibrations at 528 hertz, that's what the natural human body and the planet is supposed to vibrate at. Everything breaks down to a frequency. Well, when you get into the 4G, the 5G, you're getting into billions of hertz that, you know, and it's a much different frequency band. So it's like, why? Why are these corporations profiting so much off of poisoning the planet, coming up with these vaccines that have ingredients? For example, I just disclosed some information that was directly from the inserts. There's a chemical in vaccines that's called Triton X100, which is put in some heavy-duty cleaners. There's multiple vaccines with formaldehyde, with the thimerosal. I mean, that's the good stuff. I mean, and I'm being sarcastic, that stuff's really bad, but some of the other stuff they're putting in there, like literally aborted baby feces, baby cells, genetically modified E. coli feces is what I meant to say, such as the aspartame type chemicals and stuff, which is, that's what it is. And it's like, okay, not only are these companies making millions of dollars poisoning people, but they're also getting away with it, and it's improving the quality of their life. And in any other aspect, isn't that like a war crime? I mean, isn't that actually an attack on human beings itself? If that was somebody else doing it and they didn't have a specific label or specific laws to protect them, then wouldn't that be considered terrorism?
For sure, dude. And it's funny because it's really true too. And I'm like so scared to see what kind of damage the 5G is just going to do to our whole body. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. The 5G is even 4G, 3G, any of these cell phone towers. And the funny thing is you look at where a lot of them are located, and oftentimes you'll see them across the street from schools. You'll see them across the street from, a hospital or locations where there's apartments and stuff like that. And you have to ask yourself, why are they allowed to do this when if you go down to even the frequency level, you can clearly see that it's not good for biology. It's not good for plant life. It's not good for human life. It's not good for anything except for being able to talk on your phone while you're sitting on the toilet and looking up stuff on Facebook.
Serious. And, you know, let's get right into this, where you were talking about this, because an hour is going to go by so fast. We got one break at 8:30, and then we're going to just play one song, and then we come back for another 30 minutes. So let's just get right into this, because this transhumanism, like you're talking about, and this cult of the Saturn, I mean, I think it really starts, too, with this you see this family, and you're going to know right where I'm going with this, too, right away. This family, I think it might have been in Frankfurt, in Germany. They were the Bauer family, and they had this red six-pointed star, the red star on their house in Frankfurt, Germany, was their symbol, their shield. And then they changed their name to the Red Shield or Rothschild or Red Child, or, you know, and they created Israel, this Rothschild family, basically. And I think this is where this hexagram symbol comes from, and this cult of Saturn and the star god, and this whole cult originates. You know, if you want to go down that road, I'm willing to go, you know.
I feel that it goes a lot deeper than that, and I'm going to go – let's take this and
even this black cube, you know, this black cube as well, and these prisons for our consciousness.
Certainly. And you look at Saturn in general, and it's this beautiful planet, and it's covered in these rings, and you have to ask yourself, what's the symbology behind that? It's almost like it's enclosing these higher archetypes. And most people know we can only see 0.01% of the electromagnetic light spectrum, and our brain filters out 50% of that. So we see, you know, most of us, some people can see the 0.01%, but there's so much out there that we can't see, let alone comprehend. And if you get into astro shamanism and how there's these archetypes that are connected to different planets, and when people are born at specific times, it lines up with a certain frequency. And you can get into some very good Vedic astrology charts. Like, for example, there's this gal I know named Heidi Vandenberg, where she does these star charts on people. If you give her your exact birthday to the specific time, she pulls up this software and can tell you all these different houses and stuff like that. She's gotten it so accurate before, when she was able to tell if somebody shouldn't go out drinking that night, because she said that person would probably get a DUI, and they did. And I mean, it's just weird kind of stuff. And that's kind of like the star DNA, in my opinion, where you're born at a specific time, and therefore, because of where the planets are lined up and all the stars are lined up, the different vibrational frequencies that are going through your essence as you are born, therefore you have certain things that you're good at, you will shine at and represent better than other things. And that's kind of like where you get into the whole will, what is your will. But right now with this transhuman thing and the cult of Saturn, in my opinion, I think that this is what I think, and I can't prove this without a shadow of a doubt, but I feel that there is some type of archetype that has to control things through the through electronics, essentially, kind of like the Archons are talked about, the Nag Hammadi and stuff, and the sacred book of John. But maybe even something more than that.
I was getting at this family. I was going to start with talking about this family and how they're paying respects to all this old knowledge and almost bringing about this transhumanism. And, you know, I think that, like, kind of like what we talked about when I was on your show with this almost this virus, this artificial intelligence that is, you know, interweaving with our DNA and taking over us. And I really feel like that's where this black cube even is formed, this consciousness prison, that, you know, it all goes back to this. Even like Saturn is like the Lord of the Rings, you know, it's the Brotherhood of Saturn. It goes back to Germany. It's even like the winged disc and like Horus's boat, you know, and I mean, it goes back even to like how they worship Baphomet, and that it's linked with Capricorn and the goat, and Baphomet is the goat. I mean, this goes way back with Saturn, and it might have been like they say a sun at one time, and I think that it really has to do with Satanism, you know, Saturnism. It's all linked with, you know, this ancient occultism that's somehow got invaded with this artificial intelligence, and it has taken over, and it's terraforming us in a way.
when you were on the show a few weeks ago and you brought up those imaginary friends that you used to have when you were a little kid,
yeah,
and they said, hey, you want to hang out with us forever? All I got to do is bite the wires, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there were dozens of people after that that left comments saying that it happened to them, or they knew somebody that literally bit the wires, so they had a lisp, they had surgery, they had all these issues. And yep. That, in my opinion, man, I was thinking of the film Poltergeist, and then I started thinking about the Archons, and I started thinking about these entities that maybe can't be here in this physical form, but because of their vibrational frequency and essence, what they do is they live through the machine. So you've got everything connected to the central nervous system, and even Hewlett-Packard has what's called the central nervous system of the Earth, which they started really talking about in 2010, and that's a trillion microchip transistors that will send back frequencies and information to whether the Earth is moving or whether a car is going across a bridge, combined with all of the spy chips everywhere. When I say spy chips, let's take this a step further. Every phone that's out there is a spy chip. It's got a phone. It's got a microphone built into it. It could have a video camera built into it. There's 6.8 billion cell phone contracts out there now. And so think of all the different spying abilities constantly where there's something that can literally bird's eye view, watching us at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, running different algorithms and predictions. And we as human beings are literally creating the technology for this ghost in the machine to control us and feed off of us, literally like the film The Matrix, where we are its energy source, we are its food source. You get into the Hollywood industry and you look at these, you watch a film and you get emotionally attached. So you'll get excited, you'll get depressed, you'll get scared, kind of like when you're jamming out, you know. You talk about these entities that can just feed off of you.
Yeah.
And that's where I see this as right now. And we've got to really be careful how much control we're going to give this technology, because we could already be at the point of no return.
Yeah, and I really think it's been going on for hundreds and thousands of – even millions of years, Rex, because like – you know, what I've been, you know, trying to pull in, you know, from like the holographic universe out there, and then trying to back up with books and research, you know, I try to pull in the information I pull in. I'm trying to, you know, confirm it with all these old scriptures like the Nag Hammadi and the Book of Enoch. And what I'm coming to find out is that I really feel that, you know, what God is this consciousness, everything that is matter, everything that is God. And, you know, and it's like a universal consciousness. And we have been like light that's been trapped, and we are this matter. But there's also this dark matter that operates right outside our what we can see, you know. And this is these entities that can cling to us in that form. And it's also a reflection of everything. Like this, the beginning of time, you know, there was a collision between the light and the dark. So forever, we're a reflection of that collision. And, you know, I really feel that these entities, you know, sort of were created like, you know, the universal consciousness is what God is. But then each planet is its own consciousness and like demigod, a ruler, a planet, you know, some kind of planet god. And this planet is...
like
this
the Greek pantheon.
Yeah, this god is like Gaia. This is the god. And each planet has its own technologies to keep it going. Like insects help keep the cycle of the earth and keep everything in harmony. And that's like sort of a technology for Gaia. And I really feel that these Draco beings, these Orion groups, they were almost formed by some faraway planet as an entity or a being almost with an artificial consciousness. You know, there are like the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki could be the same thing as the Draco or the Orion group. They're the same beings, I feel, and that they don't age like we do. They're always on a programmed mission to collect DNA and to conquer and to be rulers. And I feel they are some kind of created consciousness, and they created us somehow with the DNA that they collected from the Lyrans and everything else that they were, you know, manipulating the already evolving primate on our earth, adding all this other, and somehow they created this amazing being with the divine spark of the creation of the universal consciousness, not this programmed consciousness that they contain. You know, I really feel I'm onto something with all that. and that, you know, so somehow that they're terraforming our Earth. And this terraforming is in all of the ancient tales. Even the ones that I'm digging up with my Naga files, they talk about how, you know, Mount Mandara, it was used as a churning stock, almost like to form the cosmic nebula, the primordial sea. And it's almost explaining a terraforming. And it's, and I really feel that these Draco were really sent here to terraform us. And this old virus arose, or they manipulated some kind of alchemy with the you know, some kind of black rock and the DNA they were collecting. And this artificial virus, this black goo, this gray matter, programmably, I really feel it interweaved with technology, and it's interweaving with us now, and it's taking over us. And that leads to what your transhumanism is with the D-Wave and this whole cult of Saturn. I really think it's all linked, Rex. And we're going to go on break in like 3 minutes, so you could respond to that, and then we'll go on break, and then we'll get right back into like all about some of your experiences and how we're connecting some of the dots with all this. But I would really love to hear, you know, what you have to respond to all that.
Great. You know, I actually have been researching the Vedas recently, and it talks about these wars with the way that it describes stuff. It's like something out of a science fiction film, the most recent science fiction films. And these things are 3,000, 4,000 years old. And some of them are 2,000 years old, just depending on which one you're reading. But the ones that I really thought were exciting was they were talking about these wars with different battles of monkey soldiers. So you were just talking about the, you know, how you think that this DNA was essentially kind of put together, cut bits and pieces to form us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, maybe you had these Planet of the Apes. Maybe there's more truth to that than people want to give credit to. And you can really read about this. There's even older artwork, and it could be symbolizing something else, obviously, that probably makes more sense. But hey, you never know.
I mean, I try to too, Rex. I know you interview more people than I can even imagine interviewing. You do it on a daily basis. And I've been really trying to do my own research and been trying. I mean, and the people close to you were really, you probably wouldn't think so, but the people close to me would tell you, I really try not to listen to too many other podcasts and other researchers, because I don't want it to mess with what I'm doing and my research. I really try not to mess with it. You know, I'll watch a few of your shows sometimes and different things, but what's the census with who you're interviewing and what's out there? Are you getting a lot of this, any other people coming, you know, with this information pulling in about this, you know, maybe this sort of artificial intelligence interweaving with our DNA and you know, maybe how it arose from these wars or you know, these cubed prisons?
Well, there's not all of those things that you said, but I haven't asked all those questions to all of my guests. But I've had guests on like James Gilliland that talked about the archonic influence, the parasitic influence that happened to these ancient astronauts, you know, these Anunnaki many years ago. They thought they could do anything. They went into a place they weren't supposed to. They came back, and this parasitic, you can call it black goo, gray goo, whatever you want to call it, something changed them, and that is what was the beginning of essentially what we are dealing with now. And that could have happened a million years ago. It could have happened 300,000 years ago. I don't have an answer to that. There's, you know, Gerald Clark is very well versed in the Anunnaki and the genealogy of the gods, I like to call it. He's put that together really well. But there's so many other people out there that have good information as well that kind of feel you have to take. And you know, what you're doing is good, because you don't want to mess things up, like you said. What I'm doing is I'm getting information I can from everybody, and I'm filtering through as much of it as I filtering through all of it to come up with the conclusion that resonates with me. And I give people the advice to do that themselves as well. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research and go up what resonates. But I will tell you this, the stuff that you've talked about with the reptilians and the astral realms and the robes and stuff like that, a lot of those things, I have talked to people personally that have had those experiences physically and spiritually. So it's very interesting.
Wow. Yeah. We'll pick up right where we get back, everybody. We got, if you're just joining us, I know Misaki just joined us in the chat room, and I got his powered pyramid running right now that I received today. And go to akaida.com, everybody, to check Misaki out. And we will be right back with Rex Baer from the Leak Project on YouTube and leakproject.com. Name of the song coming up right now is Bulletproof by Analog Driver. Enjoy and spiral out. We'll be right back.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Okay, we are back, and I am sorry, I was on mute, and we are back with my buddy Rex from the Leak Project on Leak. You could also find him on YouTube and leakproject.com. You're still with me, Rex, right?
Hello.
Hey, sorry, buddy. Yeah, I was muted. And also, everybody, you can also find me on YouTube at Exploring the Ka with host Rock Castaldo. And, you know, it's interesting, Rex, because you know, if people, you know, you constantly are interviewing everybody. It's interesting to have you as being the one interviewed for a change. And you know, people tend to, you know, you're always, you know, being the one having everybody reveal their research. But I'm interested to know a little bit about who you are and, you know, experiences that you've had. And I'm pretty sure just by you doing what you do on a daily basis that something sent you down that path. And I know just from me being on your show before and talking with you those few times that you've told me about some pretty cool out of body experiences you've had. And, you know, was there something that like truly sent you on this mission to uncover the truth, or was it more you just were, you know, just, you know, somehow fell into this thing, or, you know, I'm pretty sure it's more like your soul's journey. You know, this is your, like, your soul's purpose.
Well, it's funny because even when I was working for a Fortune 100 company, and I had a really cush job, corporate job, that if you have to work for a corporation, this is the one to work for, or one of the ones to work for. And even during lunch break, and then when I wasn't with customers, I would be talking to my coworkers a lot of times about what I talk about here on Leak Project and what I'm talking about with you. So I guess, yeah, I mean, it's always kind of been my thing. It is, I feel, my will, my purpose, my path. And it's interesting because when you're on the right path, things tend to present themselves. Even when I was in sales for about 18 years prior to this, and high level sales. So, you know, talking land, high end yachts and other things. And the neat thing was, is I met some really cool people, all different parts of the world. And for example, back in 2000 and either 8 or 2009, when the swine flu pig pandemic was going around, I knew that was a hoax. And I met somebody that actually worked for the CDC at that time in had a specific position. I can't say what, because it gave him away. But he, you know, I said, hey, man, I think this whole swine flu thing's a hoax just to push vaccines and cause more problems. And he said, yeah, it is. It's a hoax.
Wow.
And so it's interesting because when you're really digging into something and you want to get to the truth, it seems like the universe has a way of presenting things to you where things happen for a reason. And as far as the Leak Project goes, a lot of the different things that I bring to the table, oh, man, how do I put this? A lot of stuff that's out there has been available for years, and the transhuman thing, the singularity, the vaccines. I mean, yeah, this kind of stuff has been talked about for a really long time. Now it just seems like it's more of a, people are starting to see the actual evidence. They're starting to see physical proof on, you know, for example, people used to say vaccines were bad and they were scared of them, but now you can actually pull out an insert and read that the fact that there's formaldehyde in there, there's a lot of times MSG in there, there's aluminum in there, there's, you know, the aborted babies in there, literally, and you can look all this stuff up. But before it was just kind of like, yeah, I know it's bad because I have friends that got vaccinated and then they immediately got sick after, you know, you know of somebody that has autism and their parents would say it's because the shots and stuff like that. But now people are really starting to get together and make a difference and really push back and say, hey, we're tired of being assimilated. We're tired of you guys treating us like crap, and we're going to do something about it. We see through you. And it's getting to the point to where even with the media, like what you're doing, Raw, and the alternative landscape is starting to make a really big difference. Some of these larger brain drain dinosaur outlets, these three-letter alphabet media programs, they're so scripted, they're so fake, people have been lied to so much that they're looking for different options. And when they see somebody out there that's getting to the truth, and if they don't have the, if they don't know for sure, they'll say, hey, I don't know, this is the evidence. And for, you know, for me, my platform, I do my best to be as agnostic as possible on things that I don't have the answer to. If I don't know the answer 100%, I'll say it, hey, I don't know, but here's the evidence, you decide. But I guess some things that really changed my mindset was several years ago. This was back when I was in my late 20s, so I'm 39 now. This would have been at least 10 years ago, let's say 11 years ago when I was about 28. I had my first, that I can remember, full-on out-of-body experience, and it wasn't intentional. I was just, I was going to sleep, and as I was falling asleep, I left my body.
That's exactly how it happened with me. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, it scared me. It really did. It freaked me out. So I woke myself up, and then as I started to go back to sleep, I popped out of my body again. And at that point, it really made me realize I was more than my physical body. I'd always felt that way, but that just really confirmed it. And since then, I started to really do some research and really dig deep into who I was as a person and what I wanted to do. And before that point, I was very one-track mindset with religion. You know, I looked at Jesus was the only way that I was going to be able to go into this wonderful place in heaven, and if not, then my goodness, I was going to spend eternity in hell. I had pastors tell me, you better be right if you don't believe in Jesus, because you're willing to risk your whole soul. So it really was that was one of the most difficult things for me to do, is break out of that Jesus paradigm. And I feel that the religious paradigm, and I know some amazing people, I have family and friends that are very religious and are Christian and believe in Jesus, they're great people. But for me, I feel that it's a construct that is used or was created to imprison the mind, imprison the soul, keep people in this perpetual loop of karma where they're actually creating their own karma. Because, for example, if you are a human being, like if you're a male and you have testosterone and you look at a pretty lady, you're going to think that she's pretty, you know, most likely. And she might be married. Well, oh my goodness, man, if you're religious, you better pluck your eyeballs out. That's sin right there. You better be careful. So even if you don't act upon that sin, because it says in the Bible, if you even think of something, it's a sin. And every sin is as bad as every other sin. So if you look at your neighbor's wife and you think she's pretty, well, that's as bad as killing somebody, essentially, according to the Bible. But all you have to do is ask for forgiveness at the end, and you can do whatever you want. But you can be a good person and never ask for forgiveness, and you'll spend eternity in hell. And just all these things didn't really make sense to me. I always questioned those things, even when I did believe in the Jesus paradigm. But that was one of the most difficult things for me to break out of. So now that I've kind of broken free from that, it's allowed me to expand my mind in other aspects. And I've really started to research how to open up the sixth sense, the ESP things. I did a lot of exercises and work with that. I'm talking years of work with that. I would spend hours a day with the binaural beats and different subliminal programming where flash lights and different words and stuff on the computer screen when I was doing research. And that really kind of expanded my mind to the point to where I had to slow down on it, because I would start to kind of wander into people's minds and I wouldn't even mean to. And anyway, so, and then I kind of started doing other things. But so it's really amazing. Once you break out of those paradigms, you realize a lot of stuff you think is if you're religious, you think is a sin, just because you can see things that other people can't with your mind, where it's just a mental exercise, kind of like working out with your mind. Then you realize they're doing that a lot of times for themselves and their benefit. When I'm saying they, I'm referring to these very powerful people that started this whole thing, this apex at the top. And there's got to be something controlling them. That's where we go back to the machine, the ghost of the machine. What is causing this division? What is causing all these religious paradigms and politics and even the media? When you see so much in the media that's portrayed years before it happens, like Fukushima was portrayed in the film Knowing. The Gulf oil disaster was portrayed in the film Knowing to a T years before it happened. If you remember the Aurora shooting, where you've got James Holmes that shoots 12 people in a movie theater. A month before that happens, Little Wayne's rapping in a movie theater around 12 skeletons. About 3 minutes and 42 seconds, he says, go and death. And it sounds like he says gun death. And then you can get into the Twin Towers, and you can get into nuclear reactors that have gone at certain times based upon movies that have happened before. It just all makes you wonder, is this whole thing a stage? Are we literally living in the Matrix? And if we're not, what is it above us that's looking at this with the bird's eye view, controlling these things and keeping everybody so compartmentalized?
You're right. And you know what? And it does lead back to what you originally said at the beginning. I really think it leads back to this Saturn, you know, this cult of Saturn. I really feel like that you are onto something. And that's why I brought up the whole hexagram and that star and that symbol to begin with, because, you know, it was I really feel like this is what. This whole, it's like paying tribute to this Saturn, and I feel like the Saturn is linked to this black cube worship as well, because I really feel like Saturn, the rings are some kind of prison, some kind of hellhole that they're imprisoning, some kind of maybe our consciousness is there somehow or something like that, but I really feel like there's more to that.
Did you ever hear about the Soul Cube on the moon?
Oh, explain.
There was a military program that was you've heard of the RV program, the military project Stargate, where they had some very astute remote viewers that worked with organizations that were connected with the CIA. Now all the
Ingo Swan and all that, yeah.
He's one of them. Now you can go to – actually, if you want to get the CIA documents, they're declassified. There was a dump of over 12 million files, and I've gone through many of these and just some incredible remote viewing abilities. But what was done with – where am I going with this? I just got sidetracked.
The cube being a prison for a consciousness, you know.
Correct. So with the moon, yeah, with the Soul Cube on the moon, there was a remote viewing session that was done, and I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name that was a part of it. John Lear, I think it was John Lear that was a part of this, where he was a part of the program. They remote viewed somebody that died, and when this person died, his soul went to the moon, and it was like this moon Soul Cube, essentially some type of Cylons program, yeah. If you think about it in a metaphorical aspect.
Well, we have that same lore as Estrega, is that when you die, you have to pass through the lunar realm. And if you die, and at the moment of death, if your soul cannot handle that you just died and the traumatic experience of death, then your soul shatters into fragments. And the fragments get sent back through the lunar realm and get scattered amongst the earth. And when it gets scattered, it gets led through certain lights. And certain lights that it sees, these bright lights, are alluring lights. But the trick is, it allures you to things that have to do with your life. What I'm saying is that if you led a life that was filled with good deeds, then you will see these beautiful, warm, blue, white, bright lights, and it will lure you to the realm of the heavenly gods. But if you see, if you led a life where you were always greedy and you were always selfish, then you'll see the alluring lights, and maybe some yellow and red alluring lights that are beautiful lights, but it lures you to the realm of the hungry ghosts, so you're forever thirsty. So I really think it is sort of these programs inserted into this sort of matrix, because if you look at it, Rex, think about it. We are, if you break us down, this us being solid is a freaking illusion, right? If you even break us down to atoms and you go into those atoms, we are just empty. It's just empty space. So if you look on the computer, right, and if you look on the TV, you see things that look like solid, but in reality, that solid is from codes and symbols. It's the same thing in our holographic universe. There's codes and symbols that project solid physical things in our physical plane, but it's really just this illusion, Rex.
I don't know if you've read the book by Michael Talbot called The Holographic Universe Theory, but that was one of the books that also had a huge impact on me. And it is amazing when you think about you look at something underneath an electron microscope, like you said, and it's very difficult to get to that solid point. Yet everything is a frequency, so you can look at it in that aspect. So that doesn't mean certainly that it isn't real, but in nature, just as far as the properties go, a good way to explain it for people to understand is holographic in nature. So yeah. With that said, you know, these timelines that we're in and stuff, it seems like these timelines are already preset, yet the amount of timelines that are available could be infinite. So how do we jump timelines? So if we are a part of this timeline that we don't want to be a part of, you know, where, for example, the stuff that's going on right now with the Earth, it just seems like there's so much negativity going on against the natural state of order. It seems like whatever it is a planet killer that's just trying to take out this planet. What, you know, it's going to go, it'll go pick up another one next on in another solar system. I don't know. It's just this archonic type influence, this feeding, this consuming, this parasitic. Yep. So what do we do to
change
that? That's
what an archon is, right? An archon is a ruler, a planet ruling ruler. You know, that's what the true definition of an archon is a ruler.
Yeah. So, I mean, with that said, what do we do to change the timeline to put things back in order? And maybe that's why the alternative media right now is really starting to blossom, because the universe might have a natural order in keeping things in balance. Like I told you before, you said you feel we're in the end of a battle, and it might be the end of a battle, but I think that the war is in perpetuity. I think that there's always going to be light versus dark, and this balance has to maintain itself. Otherwise, there might be nothing. If there's no balance, then eventually one side will become so powerful it will consume the other, and then it will consume itself, and then what do you have left?
Yep.
So balance is key, I feel.
Yeah, and I was before you came on the show. I was the first 5 minutes I was doing before you. You know, you were a couple of minutes late. And I was talking about that, and I touched on it on your Leak Project, is that these wars that are going on, these if you want to call them astral wars, people don't realize that we are all participating in them on different levels. The ones that we are all going through, Rex, is the ones that are battle of our own soul, our own spirit, the battle in ourself between the light and dark. If we don't start spiritually evolving as a human, it affects the physical plane. And if it is a lot of people in a certain area that is experiencing drugs and they're not grounded and they're not unlocking their true soul purpose and they're not spiritually evolving, that area will see drought in the physical plane. It'll see famine. It'll see fires. It'll see chaos on the physical plane because of what's happening on the soul plane. You know, and people don't realize that if we don't start to unlock our souls as a community, then we will lose the soul battle and it will affect our physical world. And that's why there's vaccines hurting the children. And that's why, and you know, certain things that happen to us, Rex, like in relationships, like if somebody, you know, say they're verbally abusive to them, they say something to you that makes you judge yourself. Well, that certain thing gets put into your mind and gets embedded in there like an implant, and it festers. And every time you look in the mirror to see if you're beautiful or handsome, you were that little thing whispers to you like, remember me? You know, remember me? Remember you doubted yourself? That little self-doubt? And it turns into a little boogeyman and an entity and this monster. And if we don't battle that monster on the soul level and fight that, and we lose that soul battle, then we cause the physical dimension to fall apart. And you know what? And that's why these shape-shifting tulpas come in, where we battle the monsters that are fighting our souls and stealing the abundance of Gaia and hurting the fruits of the earth. And it's natural to transform into something to fight the evil. And I really feel like that we need to unlock all this, Rex. And I really feel like we all have this dormant in us, you know, in all of our DNA. And we need to fight that soul battle or we will lose our planet.
We do have so many abilities. And one thing I would like to share with you, I was going to do a podcast about this, and I've just been so busy doing other stories like these radiation detectors that I've picked up. I've got 3 radiation detectors right now, 3 different Geiger counters, and they're all getting different readings. But anyway, that's a whole other story. So if anybody's seen the film Doctor Strange, I just watched that movie a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't that impressed with the movie. But there were a few scenes in particular that were almost exactly the same as an experience that I had. The first one that I just told you guys about was the first out-of-body experience I had, where I popped out of my body twice in one night. And then the other one was where he essentially left his body and pushed himself really far out into the solar system and then out into the universe. Well, that was pretty darn close to the experience I had, where once I learned how to, once being out of the body, how to project myself further into not only the real time zone, which is essentially if I want to fly in the astral, not the astral realm, the real time zone to another story on another house, you know, or let's say on a building that's 30 stories, well, I can project myself to the top of that building. But once you pass out of the real time zone, which is what we see, this is what our, you know, physical essence is, then you're into like different dimensions, which have different layers. They have different colors. They have different vibrational frequencies. They have different shapes. A good way to describe it is I've been into these astral realms before. Once, you know, once I was sleeping, then I jumped out of the body. Then I went to the real time zone of the astral realm. Then I could describe it as like geometrical shapes and different colors, like reds and yellows and blacks and browns. But this one time in particular that I'm referring to on the Doctor Strange was when I went really as far out as I could into the real time zone, and I went far surpassed the solar system that we're in. I felt like I was actually beyond the universe, to where the universe was about the size of a like a golf ball. Let's say about the size of a basketball. But it was like warm, and it was this real. It was a very orangish color that was really, how do I put it? It was very good, man. It felt great. But it was like this – it was a deep warmth, I guess is the best way to describe it. So there were some neat similarities there on the film Doctor Strange compared to things that I've had. And the reason I want to bring this up is because people a lot of times think that they can't do anything and that, you know, they're just this physical meat sack and all they can do is go to work and pay the bills. And that's very difficult to do on a daily basis. I get it. It's tough for that grind as well. And we also have the opportunities, though, to be more – than this physical body. So when you say you can't make a difference, you're automatically blocking yourself off to be able to make a difference. And that's how these 1,000 people that control the world, literally control the majority of the markets and the businesses and the corporations and the pharmaceutical industries and the military industries and everything else virtually, well, they control us because they have us convinced that there's nothing we can do. So realize you can do something, and in order to do something, you have to be the change that you want to see. It's like people can't complain about not winning the lottery if they don't buy a ticket. You got to buy a ticket first. Do something.
Yep. And that's your quote. You got the change you want to see, and I have the spiral out quote. So we got 1 minute before we close, Rex. So why don't you tell our guests out there where they can find you one more time, buddy?
Groovy. Yeah, youtube.com/clandestinetimelord, and go to leakproject.com. And we also have a really cool event coming up. We have teamed up with Terra Vivos, so check out terravivos.com. I have a 2,200 square foot concrete bunker in South Dakota, south of the Black Hills where Mount Rushmore is. It's Crazy Horse, you know, that's where Sturgis is and stuff like that. So I essentially have a vacation home / SHTF scenario location where things happen. And also, you guys have that opportunity too. These are military grade bunkers in South Dakota. Check it out. We're going to have an event out there that's going to be like Burning Man with less liberals. And it's coming up here in a couple of months. So if you guys want to go out there and check it out and meet other really neat people, like-minded people, there's going to be good times out there, barbecue, and everything else. So thanks a lot. This was great. Much appreciated coming on the show with you, Ra. I apologize about being late. I thought it was 9 o'clock, and my apologies.
No problem, buddy. Thanks, everybody, again. TheMysticalSpiral.com, LeagueProject.com. Thanks again for joining us, and Spiral out. And when you leave, I don't want to take my eyes off of the sky. That